We're delighted and blessed to have with us His Grace Bishop David. Of course, Sayyidina doesn't need any introductions. Of course, you know Sayyidina, and he used to come more often, but I think Sayyidina started to get back on schedule to come and see us on a regular basis and visit us. He's always there, yani, whenever we need him. So it's a big blessing to get out of his busy schedule and come and visit us here. And he's actually Sayyidina does a regular meeting every Monday evening in Archdiocese in New Jersey, and usually he covers like very important, very essential topics in the church, like the creed, for example. And it took like maybe 4 years to cover the creed, the Orthodox creed, al-Huwa Qanun al-Iman. So one series after another. And Sayyidina is doing another series these days in the Archdiocese, also Monday evening, on the topic of Eucharist. And he just started the series. Maybe this is number five already. So five is nothing because the series is about 60 or 100. Okay, so Sayyidina is giving us a very good deal. He said, I can summarize the past five, and then they can follow along with the rest of the series. And Sayyidina does a lot of studying, a lot of work in this. It's very, very rich, as if you read, you know, a couple of books in every session. So it's a great resource, especially for servants. So I'm just giving you this introduction so you understand this topic that Sayyidina is starting. I think the Mangalaya.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's my pleasure to be with you this evening, to have a spiritual meal together. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when we gather together around the Bible, we are having a spiritual meal together. And as I always say, that the beauty of our church is that we do not separate between the Bible and the liturgical life. There's no separation. Sometimes during the liturgy, we may say, this first part is the liturgy of the word, and then we begin the liturgy of the faithful or the saints. But this division, only to understand the sections of the church, of the liturgy, but not to separate, because again, the beauty of our Orthodox Church is that in the liturgy, we bring the Bible to life. In the liturgy, in our liturgical life, we bring the Bible to life. I've met one Protestant lady who became Orthodox through marriage. She married an Orthodox member of our church. And she said to me, I said to her, what do you like about the church? What do you like about our church? She said, because I saw the Bible coming to life. Everything that we read in the Bible, you practice in the liturgy. So the Lord said, take, eat, this is my bread. Take and drink, this is my blood. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And said, she said, you do that in the liturgy. And in every occasion that the church celebrates, we bring the Bible to life. Therefore, we cannot separate between the Bible and the liturgy. The liturgy brings the Bible to life, and the Bible is the basis of what we do in the liturgy. So, as Abuna was telling you, that what I do on a Monday meeting that started many years ago, and it started as servants' meeting, but then it grew until it became a meeting for the whole congregation. We studied the creed. As I said, it started as a servants' meeting, so I wanted to explain to the servants our basic faith and the articles of faith contained in the creed. And because sometimes we are visited by bishops, etc., and sometimes I'm away, it took about 4.5 years to finish that study. So the creed that we recite or pray in just a minute or two, in order to understand every little detail in it, took about 4.5 years. Then we studied. I said to them, I wish I can explain to you the divine liturgy in order that every time you attend the liturgy, you understand what we do. But I said to them, maybe you can take something light in the middle between something theological like the creed and then the divine liturgy. So I said, let us do the Sermon on the Mount. So it took about 2.5 years. 61 lectures that I told Abuna I will send to put on the website that you have especially for the sermons. But then we just started the series on the Holy Eucharist about 5 weeks ago. So I thought if I give you an idea about the first or second lecture, we'll see how much our time will allow. Of course, go faster. Then you can follow with us, because now it is on our website, elmakaru.org, or you can also follow it on Hope TV. Does anyone have Hope TV? How many? Just a few? Okay. But it's also on our website on elmakar.org. I had other ideas that I shared with Abuna Abshoy to select from, but then I ended up deciding to just do this with you. Okay, we'll answer this question. It's a question, what is meant by a mercy of peace? Actually, this is one of the lectures. It's the fourth lecture I explained this. Because the mercy of peace, the sacrifice of praise. I was discussing with them the spiritual sacrifices that any faithful can offer, because we believe in priesthood, but those who deny priesthood deny it in two ways. They may either say everyone is a priest, general priesthood, or there's only one priest, who is Jesus Christ. And of course, by studying the Bible, we proved that the general priesthood existed in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament. And its existence in the Old Testament did not limit the existence of the special priesthood as well. But then we had to explain, if there is a spiritual priesthood, what is the function of the spiritual priesthood? What is the spiritual priest going to offer? And we said there are 10 types of spiritual sacrifices that any faithful can offer. 10 types. One of them is the sacrifice of praise. ذبيحة التسبيح. ربنا بيقول ذبيحة التسبيح تمجدني. We say this in the liturgy, by the way. In the end, we say the sacrifice of praise. I will show you what the 10 sacrifices are. Maybe to save time, I will not read many of the verses. This way we can save a lot of time. And by the way, they took this PowerPoint presentation, as you can see. So it is available. If anyone wants to get it, you can get it from whoever is in charge. Ready? هنحول بقى ازاي السلايد. دي اللي بتحول كده. ايوه. Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So, the introduction, we haven't actually yet started the Eucharist. All what we have been doing so far is an introduction. So far for 5 lectures, it's just the introduction. So, we had to begin with, what is a mystery? How do we understand the concept of a mystery in the Orthodox Church? So, we said that it is impossible to understand what a mystery is. Because if we understand what a mystery is, it will not be a mystery. The word mystery means that you cannot understand it. But then some other people attempted to define it. And they said it is an invisible grace which is given through a visible substance. So if God wants to give us a special gift, spiritual gift, spiritual grace, how does he do that? Because we are humans, we function by our senses. So God uses our senses to relay his messages to us. So he uses a visible substance to relay or to communicate his grace to us. An invisible grace which is given through a visible substance. This is what a mystery is. What we need to know about this substance, which we will refer to as the matter, is that it has to be suitable for what the mystery is given for. For example, just go back a little bit. Why did God choose this way? Because we are humans, and God understands our nature. So a human being is a spirit, a body, and a mind, or a psyche, whichever one you want. It is a spiritual gift. But what about the body and the mind, or the psyche, which are the essential aspects of the human nature. Let's take an example. It will come later, but I'll say it now. Let's take the confession, the mystery of repentance and confession. You go to Abuna and you confess your sins. But then, spiritually, your sins are forgiven, so your spirit rejoices. But the hand of the priest, which is the substance in that mystery, when Abuna puts his hand or his cross on top of your head and announces to you that your sin is forgiven, this gives comfort to the body, because you feel that your sins have been taken from you, and the priest announces to you the forgiveness of God, which gives comfort to your psyche or to your soul and to your mind. But maybe if someone else confesses directly to God, how does he know that his sin is forgiven? So you see how the mystery works together? Now, we are discussing the substance, and I'm only going to focus on one of the mysteries, which is baptism. But it goes for all the other mysteries as well. In baptism, we use the water. But why the water? Because in baptism, our sins are washed. And we are cleansed from our sins. That's one of the effects of baptism. Therefore, we use water because water is the universal liquid that people use in washing. Anything that you want to clean, you use water. Therefore, the church uses water in baptism. Why? Because baptism is washing. We read in the book of Acts, for example, Chapter 22, verse 16, the following. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Be baptized and wash away your sins. In Ephesians 5:26, same idea. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with washing, with the washing of water by the word. And the rest of the verses, which I'm not going to read. So because baptism is washing, we use water. So when the person goes inside the water and we tell him that through baptism, your sins are forgiven, he understands. Why? Because the water cleanses the body. But also, we have to remember that there was a difference between the baptism of John the Baptist, who said, I only baptize you for repentance. But he who comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So we have to understand that the Christian baptism is different from the baptism of John the Baptist. There's a special gift in that water. It's no longer just water, but it has a special gift from God. So, the immersion in the baptismal water gives the impression of the total spiritual washing, much stronger than just sprinkling. So if you sprinkle the water, this doesn't have the same effect as when the person actually is immersed in the water. And as I said, that we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, as Saint John the Baptist said. Notice that I'm not reading many of the verses for the sake of saving time. So in the baptism, the substance or the matter is the water, but there are many gifts which are received. Number one, the forgiveness of the original sin, as well as the sins committed before baptism. Just if you want, make notes of the verses, but I'm not going to read them all, because there's no time to read all the verses today in one meeting. So the grace that we receive in baptism, number one, the forgiveness of the original sin inherited by Adam and Eve, from Adam and Eve, and all the sins committed prior to baptism. Someone asked His Holiness Pope Shenouda, why did God create us if He knew that we will sin? The answer was, because God also knew that He will come to save us. And through baptism, we have that sin forgiven. Because someone may say, it is Adam's sin. Why do I have to inherit his sin? It is easy. By faith in Jesus Christ, the second Adam, and by being baptized, we have that sin forgiven. But if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're not baptized, it cannot be forgiven. Through baptism, we also become God's children because we are born from above. That's why we say that the church, that the baptistry is the womb of the church. The baptistry is the womb, like the womb of the mother. It is the womb of the church through which children of God are born. So through baptism, we become children of God. Another gift is that we die and we are buried and we rise with Christ in the new life. And now I will stand up. And if you know me, when I stand up, it means a... Nah. It means I'll say something very important that I cannot be sitting down. معناها ان انا سخنت يعني. بس ما عرفتش دي تترجم ازاي بالانجليزي. ملهاش. شوفوا بقى. I want you to understand that originally it took no less than 3 years for any person to be baptized. And during the 3 years, they are being prepared. They learn about the Christian faith. And the last thing they learn before their baptism, guess what? Huh? Our Father prayer. The Our Father prayer. Do you know why? Because the first time they are going to say Our Father is right after their baptism. They cannot say it before they are baptized. Why? Because as we said, that through baptism, we become children of God. And we can say Our Father. We can call God Our Father. So the last thing, believe it or not, they teach that the catechumens is... See, I'm always prepared for my Monday lecture with my clock so that I don't go above time, and with my pointer so that I can... ده بيشتغل لوحده ده ولا ايه؟ ده في بوينتر؟ طب وبتاعتي مش شغاله ليه؟ الظهر السكرين لونها مش ماشي مع طيب. So ايه ده؟ انا ما دوستش على حاجه. See? Through baptism, we are born again. Sometimes we meet someone. Have you been born again? What kind of question? Born again? Born again means to be baptized according to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. No one can enter the kingdom unless they are born again. And then the Lord Jesus Christ explains it. To be born again means to be baptized, to be born from water and spirit. It is the baptism. Not to be born again, something, a strange concept. To be born again means to be born again of water and spirit. They were baptized, and the last thing they learn is the Lord's Prayer. And the first time they are going to say it is right after their baptism. See the beauty of the church? Because once they are baptized, they become members in the church and they are included in among the children of God. Death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. By the way, that's also why the person is immersed totally three times to signify that he is buried with Christ. Let's now read Romans 6, because this is very important. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This is the death part. Therefore we were buried with him, this is the burial part, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So now, this is the death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. Then we must walk in the newness of life. And what does this mean? Do you know that every Lent is a renewal of our baptismal vows? Do you know what this means? You have to remember that those who were baptized in the first centuries were not children, they were grown-ups. So they make a vow on the day of their baptism. They look towards the West and denounce Satan, as we do on behalf of the children now. And then they look towards the East and accept Christ. What does this mean? It means that they reject the world. They reject evil. They reject their old life and walk in the newness of this new life with Christ. Therefore, in every Lenten fast, they renew that baptismal vow. Therefore, baptism is not just a mystery. It is a way of life that a Christian person must live in his or her everyday life. It's a new way of living in the world. This is what baptism is. That's why St. Paul here calls it, should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Those who are baptized are no longer slaves of sin. Why? Because they have power through God to live in that new life. The old man is dead, and now I am a new person. And that's why we have to understand that by being baptized, we can no longer go back to the old life. And then after baptism, we receive another mystery, which is called the confirmation. the confirmation. Okay, why? Because that new branch, which was taken from the wild tree and joined to the tree of Christ, needs to be confirmed. Therefore, we receive another gift, the Holy Spirit. We become temples of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. This is what the mystery of the confirmation is. But another or other gifts that we receive is that we become members of the mystical body of Christ and we put on Christ. These are the gifts which we receive. By the way, the mystery of confirmation, it was originally by the laying of the hands of the apostles. I visited a Catholic bishop a few days ago that lived, just his diocese is next to the archdiocese in Cedar Grove. And then he told me that I spend most of the week visiting churches. He has about 100 churches or more, about 110 churches. And he said, I spend most of the time visiting those churches doing confirmation. Because apparently that the bishop still has to do that. But in the Orthodox Church, we now allow the priests to do it by the holy Mairoon oil, to give the Holy Spirit right after baptism. In the Catholic Church, they do it separate. And also, we read in the book of Acts, chapter 8, in Samaria, that when the apostles visited that city, they said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? They said, we didn't even hear about the Holy Spirit. So they laid their hands on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts 8, if you want to read it. But I didn't discuss the mystery of confirmation or the Mairoon at length at this point because I did it in 3 sessions before when we went to Egypt to attend the making of the Holy Mairoon with His Holiness. When I came back, I gave them 3 lectures about the Holy Mairoon, how it is prepared, and we showed them pictures and explained to them what's the effect of the Holy Mairoon, so I didn't want to repeat it again. As I said to you in the mystery of repentance and confession, substance is the hand of the priest, which is laid upon the confessor's head, and the absolution is recited. The grace is the forgiveness of sins. Of course, this being the study about the Eucharist, so I just, in one line, said the mystery of the, in the substance, the mystery of the Holy Eucharist is the bread and the wine. In the unction of the sick, it is the oil. Because, by the way, not many people know that verse in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, verse 13. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He sent the apostles, they actually anointed the sick people with oil. Believe it or not. So, Mark 6, 13. And so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The holy apostles, the Lord, when He sent them, they anointed the people or the sick people with oil. Why the oil then? Because the oil at that time was used for wounds and for certain medications. As we read in the story of the Good Samaritan, the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10, that the Good Samaritan poured oil on the wound of that injured man. Verse 34. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. He poured the wine, because it has alcohol, to purify the wound, and the oil to soothe it. So why do we use the oil in that mystery? Because this is what they used to use. And by the way, the oil is also now maybe included in some of the medications. And the grace received here is the physical healing as well as the spiritual healing. And we get this from the Epistle of St. James, chapter 5. It's very clear. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's why I say it's the healing of the spirit and also of the body. When a person is sick and the priest goes to visit him, at his point of weakness, he's more accepting to the work of God. When you speak to a sick person about God, then they tend to listen more than during the time of their strength. That's why the church takes care of the sick people. In the holy matrimony, in the crowning ceremony, the substance is the bride and the groom themselves. And what is the grace? They're joining together, they become one. They become one, as it is mentioned very clearly twice in the gospel which we read in the crowning ceremony. They are no longer one, they are no longer two, but one. Flesh. And being one, his body becomes hers, and her body becomes his. They are one. And that's why in their relationship, it's not sinful. But this is the only case in which the Lord allowed for a divorce, if a strange body outside of this union comes into that relationship. Because it's very special union that God joins together. The Lord says, whoever God has joined together, let no man separate. So what's adultery? When a strange body outside of this union or joining together enters to sever that joining together. Finally, in the holy orders, the substance is the candidate himself, and with the laying of the hands of the bishop and the utterance of the rank and the breath of the Holy Spirit, the candidate receives a new grace with which he can serve God's people in his priestly service according to his rank as a deacon or as a priest or as a bishop. And each rank has its responsibilities. Okay? Some of the verses we're not going to read. Again, this is we're trying to explain what a mystery is. It is the spiritual means to convey and communicate the manifold grace of God. God has many special gifts that he wants to give to his people. But how are these communicated through the mysteries or the members to the members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? And of course, this happens through the work of the Holy Spirit, who receives from the merits of the blood of Christ. This is what the Lord said. He receives, the Holy Spirit receives from the merits of the blood of Christ. يَأْخُذْ مُمَّلِي وَيَعْطِيكُمْ يعني, the merits of the blood of Christ gives the forgiveness of the sins. How? Through the mysteries. This is the channel. I try to explain this. We say, if you imagine that the cross is like the reservoir of water. سموه إيه اللي هو خزان المية ده هو إيه سموه إيه هنا كل ده اسمه تانك Can you imagine the water tank containing a lot of water, right? But if you want to drink, what do you do? Do you stand under it to expect the water or there has to be some connections? There has to be pipes and connections, right? What are the connections? There are connections from that source to every altar, right? So there is, I want you to imagine that there is a connection between the cross and every Orthodox altar, so that when you drink from that cup, you are not drinking something other than the blood of Christ on the cross. And when you eat from that table, you are not eating anything other than the body, the broken body of Christ. See? But God said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. And God gave us his body and his blood in the figure of the bread and the wine. You see? So there is there's a connection here between the cross and this altar. That's why I started to be continued, because this was the end of lecture one. So lecture two started with what we where we left off the first lecture. All mysteries are spiritual means to convey and communicate the manifold grace of God to the members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Because now, after you are baptized and you are confirmed, then what's the next thing? Then you partake of the fat of the olive tree. This is what St. Paul says in Romans 11. By baptism we are cut off and we are grafted into that new tree of Christ. And we are confirmed by the Mairun. Then that branch has to grow. Usually it is a small branch, about 1 foot in length. But it has to grow, and then eventually it has to produce fruit. How can it grow? Only if the fatness of the tree reaches it. So once we are baptized and we become members of the church, then we participate in the holy mysteries. We cannot give communion to someone who is not baptized, because they are not part or the member or a branch in the tree. Clear? So, the mysteries are divine channels through which the faithful receive God's grace. I keep just repeating myself in different ways, just saying the same thing. They are the spiritual means to convey and communicate the grace of God. The divine channels through which we receive God's grace. Same thing, basically, right? Just think of that analogy, the tank and the connection with the tap water. Then you receive the water. The water that you receive, is it different from the water in the tank? Or is it the same? It is the same. But because you cannot drink directly from the tank, we have a connection. So what is our connection here? It's the altar. It's connected to the cross by the action of the Holy Spirit. Clear? What's our time? قولوا لي لما تحسوا ان الوقت خلص The saving effects of Christ's redemption on the cross are communicated to us through the sacraments. The saving effects of Christ on the cross. That's what why I said that we have a connection between us in every church and the cross of Christ. And as I explained to you that the concept of the mysteries is the new life in Christ. Being baptized, we live that new life in Christ Jesus. So in order to understand the relationship between the mysteries and Christ, we say that the baptism is death, burial, and the resurrection with Christ. The Mairun is our confirmation in the new olive tree in Christ, as I just explained to you. Confession is not just to go and tell Abuna what I have done in the past month or so, but it is to live the new life in Christ. It is a life of repentance. To try and live the life of holiness in Christ. So the idea is not to forget, to confess my sins, to do more sins. But the idea is to really try to repent. The Holy Eucharist is abiding in Christ and by partaking from the fatness of the tree of Christ, as I just said to you. This is in Romans chapter 11. I'm trying to skip a little bit here to this is to say that there are some of the mysteries are necessary for salvation. Without them, the person cannot be saved. The first one is baptism. So if a person is baptized and then dies, right after that, he's going to heaven. She's going to heaven. Right? Because some people were baptized by what we call the baptism of blood. Their blood, their shedding of the blood, was considered baptism because the word in Greek, to be baptized means to die, D-Y-E. So their blood was the dye in which they died with Christ. We call it the baptism of blood. Ma'amudated them. But if they live longer, then they need some means for the forgiveness of sins. And that's why when the Lord washed their feet, he said to them, you know how St. Peter complained and said, you will not wash my feet. Then the Lord said to him, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then he said, wash my head, my hands, and my feet. Then the Lord said to him, if a person is washed once, he does not need to be washed again, but only his feet to be washed. If a person is washed once, means the person is baptized. That's why we never repeat baptism under any circumstance. Even if the person denies the faith, What about if a person was Christian and then he denies the faith? There was a big debate during the persecution of the Christians that some people denied the faith, and then after the persecution they wanted to return. And then the church said, what are we going to do now? Are we going to baptize them again? Then, by studying the Bible, the fathers decided we cannot baptize them again. Cannot, because baptism is done once after the crucifixion of the Lord who was crucified and died on the cross once. And that's why some of the mysteries are never repeated again, because they give a seal that is not broken. That's why we say in the Mayrun, when we anoint someone with the Mayrun oil, we say, a never broken up seal. It is a permanent seal. So some of the mysteries provide a permanent seal, such as baptism. It's never repeated. So if someone denies the faith, they want to come back, what do we do? We may give them some church discipline, some practices. There is a special prayer, but not a baptism. Okay? Not a baptism. Baptism is only once in a lifetime. But if they sin again, they need to confess and repent, and they take communion. Another mystery which is not repeated is the confirmation. Confession is repeated many times throughout life, but is required for salvation and also the Holy Eucharist. These are the four mysteries which are required for salvation. And the mysteries that are not repeated are, number one, baptism, confirmation, Eucharist is repeated many times. Priesthood in each rank. Yani, there are three ranks, so deacon, priest, bishop. The institution of the mysteries, this is just to prove that in every mystery of the seven mysteries were instituted by Christ himself. Now, this is a very important point. What is needed to complete any of the mysteries? We need four things. Number one, the material or the matter itself, the substance of the mystery. Number two, the priest. So if you decide you want to bring wine and bread in at home and do the prayer and think this is communion, number one, it is a sin. Don't do it. But besides being a sin, because you are not a priest, you shouldn't be doing that, it will not become the body and the blood. There has to be a priest, and a canonical priest who is ordained by a canonical bishop. Okay? Do you remember Maxim Schell? He wears like us, Amma like us, and Galabay like us. If he prays 1,000 years over bread and wine, it will not become the body and the blood of Christ. Why? Because he is not a canonical bishop. He ordained other bishops. They are not canonical bishops. Why? Because he did not receive his priesthood from a canonical bishop. Okay? Because any priesthood has to be linked with the apostles. That's why we call ourselves Apostolic Church. Do you know that church, the Orthodox Church of England, Metropolitan Seraphim, he discovered that they are Orthodox, but they are not linked with any apostolic church. So he went to Egypt, met with His Holiness Pope Shenouda, and said to His Holiness, we want to join an apostolic church because we feel that we are hanging in the air. Anybody has to have roots. So he joined our church with all his churches and clergy just to have the apostolic roots, which we enjoy. You understand? Some people say, we like to attend in the Protestant churches. We feel God's presence there. And but where is the priesthood? Where is the link to Christ, who breathed into the face of his disciples and gave them priesthood? There are important things that we as Orthodox need to understand, because sometimes the simplicity that some of the members of the church walk by may be dangerous for their salvation. We have to understand our Orthodox roots very well. Very well. It has to be very clear in our understanding. So, there has to be a priest. Without priesthood, no mystery can be completed. He is the servant, as St. Paul says, that we are the stewards of the mysteries of God. And when you are confessing to the priest, you are not confessing to a human being like yourself. How is that? See, on the borders, you meet an officer. Customs and immigration officer, right? He is an officer. What about if he asks you a question and you lie? Can you at that point say, I am just joking with you, I'm lying to you, you're a human being? Or does he represent something at that point? Right? At that point, he represents the U.S. government. You cannot lie to him. Because if you lie to him, you are lying to the U.S. government. That's why when Ananias and Sapphira lied to St. Peter, what did he say to them? Why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? You are not lying to me, Peter, but I represent something. I am the apostle of Christ. Then when you lie to me, then you are lying to the Holy Spirit. See? So the priest is not a normal person. When you are in confession, he is the priest of God. He is the steward of the mysteries of God. So you have to understand, in the presence of the priest, you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are in front of God's steward. You cannot lie. See? In order to complete the mystery, you need a priest. And you need the prayer, the rituals. Taqs, fi tukus, salawat. And finally, you need the invocation of the Holy Spirit, the calling upon the Holy Spirit to do the action. They are saying to me, I have to finish now because otherwise I will miss my train. Let's just see what else we have so that I can get you up to date. Just want to get to the part about the Uh, spiritual sacrifices. This is in lecture 4, actually. This is a nice saying for Saint Athanasius, by the way. I will read it to you. To explain to you what Saint Athanasius said about the Holy Eucharist and how the bread and the wine come as regular bread and wine, but after the prayer, something changes. So listen to Saint Athanasius. You shall see the Levites. The Levites here means the deacons. Bringing loaves and a cup of wine and placing them on the table. The table here means the altar. So long as the prayer of supplication and entreaties have not been made, there is only bread and wine. But after the great and wonderful prayers, he calls them the great and wonderful prayers, have been completed, then the bread has become the body and the wine the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, let us approach the celebration of the mysteries. He repeats himself, just to stress the point. This bread and this wine, so long as the prayers and supplications have not taken place, remain simply what they are. But after the great prayer and holy supplications have been sent forth, the word comes down into the bread and wine, and thus his body is confected. The words of Saint Athanasius. Beautiful. As long as the prayers and supplications have not been made, they are just simply bread and wine. After, they become the body and the blood. Let me see if I have... Because I gave a nice example about this. I said that, do you know the handkerchiefs of Saint Paul and aprons? They were made from just regular material, like any other material, that was cut into pieces and were sold, and some Paul got a piece of it. But then the piece that belonged to Saint Paul healed the sick and cast out demons. Right? What happened? Why not the piece from some material from someone else? Because the piece that belonged to Saint Paul received special power, because it belongs to Saint Paul. So it's not simply just the material, it has power for healing. And this is what happens in a mystery, that it's no longer that material, but it receives power or grace from God that is communicated by this means. So if I tell you now, I have a piece from the handkerchief of Pope Kyrillos, what will you do? I do, by the way, but I don't have it with me now. I got a piece from one of the monks from the monastery of Saint Mean, who was his disciple, one of his disciples, yeah. But he gave me a small piece. But a small piece is wonderful to have. Why? Because it belonged to a saint. So if imagine if that little piece is a great blessing, how much more the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ after the great prayers about Saint, what Saint Athanasius spoke about. Yes, this is the handkerchiefs here, example, Saint Paul. It received an energeia. Energy. Where is lecture 4? Okay, here it is. Now, in 2 minutes, we finish this one. As I spoke in the beginning, saying that the Protestant deny priesthood in two ways, either to make one priest only, who is Jesus Christ, or to generalize or nationalize the priesthood. In the Old Testament, there was general priesthood. So we proved that And those who try to do priestly services who were not priests were condemned by God severely. If you have chance, read all these verses. I spend a lot of time preparing for those lectures. If we go through them, if we had time, it's good knowledge to know. So what are the spiritual sacrifices now? Number one, the sacrifice of the body as sent. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So when we sacrifice our bodies, whether in service, whether in fasting or in matanias or any kind that needs physical work in the service, this is presenting the body as a living sacrifice. So our bodies can be sacrificed in many ways. So in fasting, if we wake up in the morning and we eat, what sacrifice is that? There has to be a part of total fasting without eating, etc. Number two, the sacrifice of praise. This is your question, Naba. Min al hawa. The sacrifice of praise. What does it mean here? Sacrifice of praise is praising God. Just by praising God is a way to sacrifice. Is a sacrifice. It's actually considered as a sacrifice. Called the sacrifice of praise. Zabihat tasbih. A mercy of peace. By the way, mercy, as we will see, is also one of the sacrifices, to be merciful. لا. We're not addressing St. Mary here. اللحن ده متقسم لثلاث أجزاء. الأول خاص بربنا وبعدين خاص بسانت ماري. الأول خاص بالعذر وبعدين خاص بالثالوث وبعدين الحتة ديت لوحدها برضه. حتى تلاقي اللحن بيتغير في كل حتة. لا، ذبيحة التسبيح اللي احنا بنقدمها لربنا، اللي احنا بنقدمها لربنا، دي حاجة خاصة بينا، احنا بنقدمها لربنا. ذبيحة التسبيح دي احنا اللي بنقدمها لربنا. لما بتسبح ربنا انت بتقدم ذبيحة التسبيح. بلى، ما هو اللي احنا ده 3 parts. First Saint Mary, her intercessions, and we worship. And in every part, it's a different tune. And then the hymn slows down, so you get a chance to kneel. Slows down. Anyway, so we have the sacrifice of praise. We have the sacrifice of thanksgiving, to give thanks to God all the time. We have the sacrifice of prayer, the lifting up of my hands is like incense and a prayer, as David the prophet said. تستقيم صلاتك البخور قدامك ولتكن رفع يديا كذبيحة مسائي. Sacrifice of charitable deeds, the sacrifice of giving, sacrifice of obedience, because in obedience the person kills his or sacrifices his or her will. The sacrifice of contrition, when we stand before God in contrition, in sahaq, the sacrifice of mercy, and the sacrifice of righteousness. 10 types of sacrifices. But But then we can categorize them into three kinds, putting together some of the sacrifices. This is the last one, which was yesterday, last night. And it was about proving the priesthood. Is there a priest? If Christ came as a high priest, then did he end the priesthood? We don't need priests in the New Testament. Then I said, well, if there is an altar in the New Testament, and if there is sacrifices in the New Testament, then we need a priest. We said that there is general priesthood for all people who will offer the spiritual sacrifices, as we explained. But does this mean there is no special priesthood? But how to prove that? We prove that there is an altar, and we prove that there is sacrifice. How did we do that? If the answer is yes, then we need a priest. The proof of the altar you will find in those verses, in 5 points, very clear. And the presence of the sacrifice also is very clear in those 5 points. So, the result is there is priesthood. Okay. And finally, we said if the priesthood has changed, how did it change? It is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, which is without blood. It's bloodless sacrifices. Because in Genesis chapter 14 says that Melchizedek was a priest of God who offered wine and bread. And we say that Christ is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who offered not bloodless sacrifices, but he offered bread and wine after the order of Melchizedek. So the priesthood of the New Testament is after the order of Melchizedek, offering bread and wine. Number two, it is without inheritance. So in the Old Testament, the children of Aaron automatically become the priests. In the New Testament, anyone who deserves that honor may become a priest. So this is where we stopped. And you can follow us every Monday, 7:45. Exactly, 7:45. Until 8:45. We don't finish later than 9. Website is Elmaqar, ELMAQAR. And we also can follow with us on Hope TV. They broadcast the meeting now every Monday. What is meant by saved, amen, and with your spirit? All these questions, by the way, are going to be answered when we study the text of the liturgy. But for now, saved, amen, sotis, amen. Yeah. It means at certain point, the deacon may announce the salvation of Christ by saying, saved, amen. We are saved, amen. By the way, the word amen, St. Paul said that we need to speak the language that the people understand so that they may say amen. It's a very important word. It's an orthodox word, كمان يعني. ساعات نقول امين اما الناس تقول امين يقول انت ايه ده انت orthodox. It's an orthodox word. It's in the Bible. St. Paul said, how can the people say amen if they don't understand? We have to say amen. ما نقعدش ساكتين كده. The Bible says that we have to say amen. When you receive the body, Abuna says, this is the body of Christ, you have to say amen. With joy. You have to say amen. You are receiving the body. When you receive the blood, Abuna has to say, this is the blood of Christ. Say, amen. ساعات أقول له, this is the body of Christ. This is in truth. Amen. يسيلي يقول لي, what? لو what إيه يا ابني؟ أعطيك. إحنا هنتكلم دلوقتي هنتناقش. أنا بقول لك, you say amen وخلاص. وتناول ومش. مش متعودي. واحد اللي ها؟ حاجات تغيظ كده يعني. Saved, amen. And with your spirit, because Abuna had just said Irini Pasi. يعني بيقولوا and with your spirit means يعني ومع روحك. ما هو يقول ايه؟ بيقول قبليها اذكر يا رب اجتماع, وفي صلوات سريه. تاخد بالك؟ يعني في صلوات سريه بتتقال, وساعات بيبقى في مردات بيقولها الشماس, ومثلا لما بيبقى في الدوره ابونا لما بيبدا الدوره ويحط البخور بيقول اشليل سرا وايريني باس, والمفروض الشماس يكون برضو بيرد. ف with your spirit هنا كتبنا ماتيسو ميتافوفو ثي او بروس خومين لا انا وايت وايس ان دلتي. احنا معادنا الساعة كام ابونا بتاع الترافيك الساعة 9؟ انتوا اتبعنا لا لا لا, هي مش موضوع ما يعديش معاد الأرض. ميتافوف زيو دي معروف. ميتافوف زيو always means that insert بخوف, لأن هيقول طاقية فيك. But this is important because we are saying the holies are for the holy. فدي جاية بعد كده. دي and with your spirit is to abon. Addressing abon. عشان abona بيقول إلي نفاسي. فبيقول له كتب نماتيسو. نقدر نوزع عليهم شوية تجد بسرعة. If you have, if you can come fast, we can give you a, if you speak Arabic, you can get a couple of songs. If not, you can get a picture for Saint Mina and Kukurun. But we have to do it very fast. In 5 minutes, we have to be out of here. Amen.
Open choice is us vechrestos es moini air in ten ves moini moe me fiaro es moini sitinem nisim mare pecnainem tekirinim vecleon sotiemon uonainana kincien charis moin sistimet oivin temel shin sadaktimet chelo ente yakum pinogna ente mathom פיקת ינצות פנטי דווין, תינסופי ינטן סולומון, פי אבנה מים פרקליטון, ותווי אינג'ני אפוס. הם שוי סב אי ארי, הם אונחן מפטאוור, ענפים פניות את טיוט, נער שרם סבבה ושנודן, הם פניות נפסקופוס. Evnoten ten ve vetagro uhi jenno etrono senhan mishen rompinem hanseyo en hirini konto ve beristo seriye gontefken in novina nevon gen o hirini katave vnesht na in kirye eleison kirye eleison kirye Minis moero ins moero ins timatanya konievon gompi ensmo
ليترأف الله علينا ويباركنا ولينرجع علينا وارحمنا يا رب خل الشعبك وبارك ميراثك راهم وارفعهم إلى بدر فعشاء المسيح القدس المحب السؤالات والطلبات فعنا في كل حين ودي لا تارك قديسة مريم كف مصاف السمعين ورؤساء الأباء والأباء والأنبياء والرسل والشهداء والمعترفين السواح والنساك متعبين لبيت الصبي بركة ملاك هذا اليوم المقدس وبركة قديس العظيم ماري مرقس وبركة سادة الأباء الرسل القدسين وبركة طاهر عذراء مريم أولا وآخرا بركاتهم المقدسة وهبتهم معاناتهم ومحبتهم وشفاعتهم ورحمتهم وقوتهم فلتقم معنا كلنا امين كريستوس بنوتي O King of peace, grant us your peace, establish your peace upon us, and forgive us our sins. For yours is the power, the glory, the blessing, and the majesty forever. Amen. Make us all worthy to pray thankfully and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one in Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The love of God the Father and the grace of His only begotten Son, our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, the gifts and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace and may the peace of God be with you.